Colin slewed wildly through the air towards the tower of the guide offices, trying delightedly to control himself and slow down. The world span sickeningly round Ford's head as they span and twisted round each other, and then, equally sickeningly, everything suddenly stopped. Ford found himself deposited dizzily on a window ledge. His towel fell past, and he grabbed at it and caught it. Colin bobbed in the air, inches away from him. Ford looked around himself in a bruised, bleeding, and breathless daze. The ledge was only about a foot wide, and he was perched precariously on it 13 stories up. 13. He knew they were 13 stories up because the windows were dark. He was bitterly upset. He had bought those shoes for some absurd price in a store on the Lower East Side in New York. He had, as a result, written an entire essay on the joys of great footwear, all of which had been jettisoned in the mostly harmless debacle. Damn everything! And now, one of the shoes was gone. He threw his head back and stared at the sky. It wouldn't be such a grim tragedy if the planet in question hadn't been demolished, which meant that he wouldn't even be able to get another pair. Yes, given the infinite sideways extension of probability, there was, of course, an almost infinite multiplicity of planets Earth, but when you came down to it, a major pair of shoes wasn't something you could just replace by mucking about in multidimensional space-time. He sighed. Oh well, he'd better make the best of it. At least it had saved his life, for the time being. He was perched on a foot-wide ledge 13 stories up the side of a building, and he wasn't at all sure that that was worth a good shoe. He stared in woozily through the darkened glass. It was as dark and silent as the tomb. No, that was a ridiculous thing to think. He'd been to some great parties in tombs. Could he detect some movement? He wasn't quite sure. It seemed that he could see some kind of weird, flapping shadow. Perhaps it was just blood dribbling over his eyelashes. He wiped it away. Boy, he'd love to have a farm somewhere, keep some sheep. He peered into the window again, trying to make out what the shape was, but he had the feeling, so common in today's universe, that he was looking into some kind of optical illusion and that his eyes were just playing silly buggers with him. Was there a bird of some kind in there? Was that what they had hidden away up here on a concealed floor behind darkened, rocket-proof glass? Someone's aviary? There was certainly something flapping about in there, but it seemed like not so much a bird, more a kind of bird-shaped hole in space. He closed his eyes, which he'd been wanting to do for a bit anyway. He wondered what the hell to do next. Jump? Climb? He didn't think there was going to be any way of breaking in. Okay, the supposedly rocket-proof glass hadn't stood up when it came to it to an actual rocket, but then that had been a rocket that had been fired at very short range from inside, which probably wasn't what the engineers who designed it had had in mind. It didn't mean he was going to be able to break the window here by wrapping his fist in his towel and punching. What the hell? He tried it anyway and hurt his fist. It was just as well he couldn't get a good swing from where he was sitting, or he might have hurt it quite badly. The building had been sturdily reinforced when it was completely rebuilt after the Frogstar attack, and was probably the most heavily armoured publishing company in the business, but there was always, he thought, some weakness in any system designed by a corporate committee. He had already found one of them. The engineers who designed the windows had not expected them to be hit by a rocket from short range from the inside, so the window had failed. So, what would the engineers not be expecting someone sitting on the ledge outside the window to do? He racked his brains for a moment or so before he got it. The thing they wouldn't be expecting him to do was to be there in the first place. Only an absolute idiot would be sitting where he was, so he was winning already. A common mistake that people make when trying to design something completely foolproof is to underestimate the ingenuity of complete fools. He pulled his newly acquired credit card from his pocket, slid it into a crack where the window met its surrounding frame, and did something a rocket would not have been able to do. He wiggled it around a bit. He felt a catch slip. He slid the window open and almost fell backwards off the ledge laughing, giving thanks as he did so for the great ventilation and telephone riots of SRDT 3454.